So I invite you to turn with me to Proverbs chapter 1 and 2. Proverbs chapter 1 and 2. And we are going to read the entirety of all those chapters. And then we're going to dive in and see what the Lord has for us this morning. So Proverbs chapters 1 and 2. Beginning in chapter 1, verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for learning wisdom and discipline, for understanding insightful sayings, for receiving prudent instruction in righteousness, justice, and integrity, for teaching shrewdness to the inexperienced, knowledge and discretion to a young man. Let a wise person listen and increase learning. And let a discerning person obtain guidance for understanding a proverb or a parable in the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and discipline. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and don't reject your mother's teaching, for they will be a garland of favor on your head and a pendant around your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, don't be persuaded. If they say, come with us, let's set an ambush and kill someone. Let's attack some innocent person just for fun. Let's swallow them alive like Sheol, who, like those who go down to the pit. We'll find all kinds of valuable property and fill our houses with plunder. Throw in your lot with us and we'll all share the loot. My son, don't travel the road with them or set foot on their path, because their feet run toward evil and they hurry to shed blood. It is useless to spread a net where any bird can see it, but they set an ambush to kill themselves. They attack their own lives. Such are the paths of all who make profit dishonestly. It takes the lives of those who receive it. Wisdom calls out in the street. She makes her voice heard in the public squares. She cries out above the commotion. She speaks at the entrance of the city gates. How long, inexperienced ones, will you love ignorance? How long will you mockers enjoy mocking and you fools hate knowledge? If you respond to my warning, then I will pour out my spirit on you and teach you my words. Since I called out, and you refused, extended my hand, and no one paid attention. Since you neglected all my counsel and did not accept my correction, I in turn will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror strikes you. When terror strikes you like a storm, and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when troubles and stress overcome you, then you called me, but I won't answer. They will search for me, but won't find me, because they hated knowledge, didn't choose the fear of the Lord. Were not interested in my counsel and rejected all my correction, they will eat the fruit of their way and be glutted with their very own schemes. For the apostasy of the inexperienced will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live securely and be undisturbed by the dread of danger. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, listening closely to wisdom and directing your heart to understanding. Furthermore, if you call out to insight and lift your voice to understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it like hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up success for the upright. He is a shield for those who live with integrity, so that he may guard the paths of justice and protect the way of his faithful followers. Then you will understand righteousness, justice, and integrity, every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will delight you. Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you. It will rescue you from the way of evil, from anyone who says perverse things, from those who abandon the right path to walk in the ways of darkness, from those who enjoy doing evil and celebrate perversion, whose paths are crooked and whose ways are devious. It will rescue you from a forbidden woman, from a wayward woman with her flattering talk, who abandons the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God, for her house sinks down to death and her ways to the land of the departed spirits. None return who go to her, none reach the paths of life. So follow the way of the good and keep to the paths of righteous. For the upright will inherit the land, and those of integrity will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous ripped out of it. Let's pray one more time. Father, help us this morning to be changed by your word, to understand the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And we can only do this with your help, so please do. And it's in your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let's jump right into it. Look at verse 7, because verse 7 of Proverbs really is the center or the key of verses 1, or rather chapters 1 and 2, if not the entirety of the whole book. So look at chapter 1, verse 7. It says this: "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and knowledge." And the key phrase there in verse 7, and again, that can set the tone for the entirety of the book of Proverbs, is the first line: "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." Again, with the key phrase being "the fear of the Lord." Fear is a powerful motivator, isn't it? In our lives, it controls us, and we usually think about it as terror. I asked my family last night, I said, tell me one thing. I gathered them all into the living room as I was looking over this, and said, tell me one thing that terrifies you, that you're afraid of. And my sweet daughter Lily's like, "I am so afraid of getting injured and not being able to dance." Okay, you know, amen. And, you know, I was like, well, then all those moves I taught her will be for naught, so we don't want that to happen. And then my mama, otherwise known as Amy, my wife, so like, what are you afraid of? She's like, tornadoes and puke. I'm like, okay. All right, well, you know what, you laugh, but they elicit the same response. I don't know if I'm running to the basement to get ready to die or if I just need to go grab a towel. It's the same thing. It's the same exact thing. And my son, the first one that he shared with us, I've been barred from repeating because I had to do something with his sister. So I'm not allowed to say that. But he's like, if I'm outside in the storm, and I'm a little nervous. I'm a little scared. But do you see what those all entail? Like a fear, a terror. What we need to be careful of is when we read the fear of the Lord, we don't want to confuse our typical understanding of the way we use fear as the way the Bible's talking about fear. Yes, there is a sense of holy terror of looking at the God of creation and how immense and big he is. But the same Lord who said, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom," is the same Lord who said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. And what? I'll give you rest." So we worship the Lion and the Lamb. Jesus is the Lion and the Lamb. David Hubbard has a great, and we'll do part of it now and part of it later, has a great definition, I think, of what it means to fear the Lord. He says this: "To fear the Lord is to understand it as reverent obedience." Let me say that again. To fear the Lord is to understand fear of the Lord as reverent obedience. So in other words, it's a humble desire to submit your life to the one by whom and for whom all things were created, because of who he is and for what he's done. So the reverent obedience, yes, a little holy terror of the Lord, but it doesn't cause us to run to the basement in fear. It's to run to Him for His life giving towards us. That's reverent obedience to the Lord. It's a joyful submission, a joyful trembling before the Lord. Just real quick before we move on to Proverbs, it was written by Solomon, more than likely for young men in his court who were going to grow up into positions of leadership, but it was written for God's people, for young men, for young women, for us to grow in our love and our wisdom for Jesus Christ. So let's jump into verses 1 through 7 again. So verses 1 through 6 are going to tell us who the Proverbs are for and what their purpose is. So let's buzz down through this real quick. Look at the title, The Proverbs of Solomon, Son of David, King of Israel. Don't miss the importance of this, especially during Christmas season. Solomon, Son of David, King of Israel. What line is this that's coming through the scriptures? It's the royal line that Jesus is going to come through. The royal line, King David to Solomon, that's eventually going to lead to Jesus, the wisest person who has ever walked the face of the earth. For as wise as Solomon was, for all of his observations, this is telling Jesus, the royal line of Jesus. Look at verse 2. Why do we have wisdom? For learning wisdom and discipline. For understanding insightful sayings. So we have learning, understanding. For what else? Receiving prudent instruction. In what? In righteousness, justice, and integrity. And for teaching shrewdness. Shrewdness in its best sense of making a plan of action to have the best outcome. And who's it for? Look who it's for. It's for the inexperienced. It's for the young man or young woman. But not just them. Look at verse 5. Don't miss this. It's for the wise person to do what? To listen and increase in learning. You don't arrive. You keep growing. You keep learning. It's for the discerning person. So somebody has wisdom, a discerning person, to continue to obtain guidance for understanding a proverb, a parable, for the words of the wise and the riddles. But again, we jump to verse 7 to the key that holds this all together. And it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And just to reiterate this, it's not a phobia. I'm afraid of closed spaces. I'm afraid of heights. I'm afraid of the dentist. Sorry, Jimmy. Was that him for real? Okay. It's a terror. It's not. There's a holy terror to it. But remember what David Hubbard said. He said it's best understood as a reverent obedience. But he goes on to define it. Listen to this. It includes worship, obviously, but it does not end there. Listen to this. It radiates out from our adoration and devotion to our everyday conduct. And here it is, that sees each moment as the Lord's time. Each relationship as the Lord's opportunity. Each duty as the Lord commands. And each blessing as the Lord's gift. It's a new way of looking at all of life and seeing what it means when viewed from God's perspectives. Vern Poitras wrote one of my favorite books I've ever read called The Lordship of Christ. And the subtitle of it is, some of you may have heard me say this before, Serving Our Savior All of the Time, in All of Life, with All of Our Heart. so we don't compartmentalize. And one of the things, one of the beauties of the book of Proverbs, especially when you get past chapter 9 into chapter 10, when we just start getting those short, pithy statements that help us in our everyday day lives, there's nothing it really doesn't touch on. As we're walking down this path of discipleship as sojourners and pilgrims. So just a few examples in our daily lives. You want to talk about work ethic? Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6 and 7. Go to the ant, you slacker. Slackers! Observe its ways and become wise. Without a leader, administrator, or ruler, it prepares its provisions in summer. It gathers its food during harvest. You want to talk about the discipline of our children? Proverbs 22:15. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of youth, but yet a rod of discipline will drive it from him. Our commitment to justice and integrity. Proverbs 23:1. Doing what is righteous and just is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. And we can go on and on. What it's like to reason with a fool. What it's like to live with an overbearing spouse. Being loud in the morning. Howdy, neighbor. You guys don't know that one, obviously. All right. No, I'm just teasing. And here's the thing. And I want to start to be clear on this. There's helpful wisdom for people who are not followers of Christ. Because much of the wisdom dispensed in the Proverbs, comes from Solomon's observations of his natural consequences in the world. If this happens, this is what's to follow. But what we need, and I was going to say, most of the business books I've ever read in my life, I find myself saying, you should just read the book of Proverbs. But this is why it's so important to start with the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Because the fear of the Lord is a reverent obedience to submit to His commands and live your life fully for Him. Back in the fall, we here went through a curriculum called Learn the Gospel. We'll be starting this again, as was said earlier, on January 15th. For those of you who would like to jump in that class and take it, talk to some of you who took it. I thought it was excellent and well worth the time of taking. But one of the things it talked about, one of the things it explained to us, is that there really are only two types of people in this world. Whether you're live in China, Bolivia, United States, wherever, we can break people down in any way we want. But biblically, there's only two people in this world. Those who are followers of Jesus and those who are not. That's it. Those who have submitted their lives to Christ for the forgiveness of sins, the promise of eternal life, and those who have not. That's it. And so for you who are not believers and who are not followers of Christ, the first call to you is, in if you were to obey, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. What is reverent obedience to you look like? It's to enter into a relationship with Him through repenting and believing Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. Because true knowledge of God only starts there. You could read through the book of Proverbs as somebody who's not, even as an atheist, and glean wisdom, understanding for some practical areas of life, but the problem is it's not done out of reverent obedience and fear to the Lord. You could say to me, I work hard. Great. Do you know Christ? Well, I discipline my children. They're well behaved. They respect me. Great. Do you know Christ? I'm in the National Honor Society. I'm the star on the traveling softball team. Great. Do you know Christ? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So what's it look like to reject this fear of the Lord? Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Let's look at verse 8. Let's look at verse 8. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and reject not your mother's teaching. For what? It will be a garland of favor around your head and pendants around your neck. One of the patterns, if you read through Proverbs 1 through 9, there's this pattern that kind of repeats itself. It shows you the value of wisdom and the blessing that comes from wisdom. So just in simple terms, pursue wisdom. Good things typically happen. I need to say this, otherwise I'll feel like a bad Bible teacher. When you read Proverbs, especially after chapter 10, these aren't ironclad promises. They're general statements about how the world works, but they're still done in a way to honor the Lord. So look again. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and don't neglect your mother's teaching. So we're going to see this over and over again. The picture of a father instructing a younger man with the wisdom he has gleaned from his life of discipleship following Jesus. You see it in verse 9, my son. You see it in verse 15, my son. You're going to see it at the beginning of the chapter 2. Listen, my son, listen to what I have to say. Listen to my instruction. I take jiu-jitsu. All right. I'm a bad man. I'm just kidding. I take jiu-jitsu, and I'm a white belt. That's the lowest rank. And my wife's laughing at me. And my instructor, Mike, is a black belt. So there's like a large gap between our understanding of this sport. One practice, I was taking individual lessons with him, and we were doing a chokehold on the ground, and I was practicing, and we weren't going live or anything, so nothing bad was happening. And so I put him in this chokehold, and I was actually quite proud of myself. And I got up and said, man, I really think I'm starting to get this. And Mike's response was, yeah, no, you don't. Yeah, no, you don't. But the fool despises wisdom and instruction. How dumb and stupid of it would it, how would it be for me to argue with somebody who knows way more than I do? And just think about, these are the instructions of the Lord. He's the one who's made the world work and put it together. But let's go look what. So, listen, my son. Listen, my son, to my father. You can say, teacher, listen, my son. Pay attention. Don't reject your mother's teaching. Why? They're good for you. For the be garland and favor around your head and a pendant around your neck. But go on to see what happens to this son. My son, if a sinner entices you, don't be persuaded by them. My son, or if, we could even say when. Not if, but when. This is going to happen. Just a side note, parents, grandparents, the Bible teaches for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. David says, I was born in utter iniquity. That means your children, little Bobby and Susie, will be enticed by sin. It's coming. Instruct them. So we as a church here, so listen, my son, to my father's instruction. Listen, we as a church here are absolutely committed to following the commandments of God, to pass the fear of the Lord as the beginning of knowledge onto the next generation. Not our thoughts, not our feelings, the fear of the Lord. And this has been what God's been doing from the beginning. You can go and read it in Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, where, you know, teach your children as you're sitting in all of life, teach them about the fear of the Lord. Now look at what happens here, verse 10. Sinners are going to entice you. What are they going to say? If they say, come with us, so we have two people talking, we have a son, father, listen, my son, then we have fools, sinners. If they say, come with us, let us set an ambush and kill someone. Let us attack some innocent person just for fun. Let's swallow them alive like Sheol, who, like those who get out of the pit, will find all kinds of value, property, and fill our houses with plunder. Notice again what it says back in verse 10, because it's just explaining what they're doing. My son, if sinners entice you, I love that word entice. It's an attractive thing. It's a beautiful thing. It's something that can draw you in. You're going to be enticed. But listen to what he says, verse 15. My son, don't do this. Don't travel the road with them or set foot on their path, because their feet run toward evil and hurry to shed innocent blood. And I love what this dad does. He mocks these guys. These guys are so stupid. It's useless to spread a net where any bird can see it. I see that. I'm not going to get trapped in it. But look what they do. They set an ambush to kill themselves. They attack their own lives. Such are the paths of all who make profit dishonestly. It takes the lives of those who receive it. Real quickly, let's go down through the next part, because look who else is calling. Verse 20. Wisdom is calling out in the street. She's not being quiet. She's making her voice heard in the public squares. She cries out above the commotion. So everything that's going on, all these enticements that are going on, she's calling out. She speaks at the city gate. She's making her voice heard. How long are you going to keep doing this, you inexperienced ones? How long will you ponder? If you respond to my warning, then I will pour my spirit on you and teach my words. And then again, we'll have a refusal. Since I called out, you refused, extended my hand, and no one paid attention. You neglected all my counsel. You did not accept my correction. And I'm going to laugh at you when your calamity comes. I will mock you when terror strikes. And look, when terror strikes like a storm, this is not pretty. And your calamity comes like a whirlwind. You're going to call to me, but I won't answer. The search for me, you will search me, but you won't find me. Why? Because you hated knowledge. And remember the fear of, you didn't choose the fear of the Lord. Skip down to verses 20, 32. Skip down to verse 30. Well, I'm sorry, no. Look at verse 31 and 32. They will eat the fruit of their way and be glutted with their own schemes. For the apostasy of the inexperienced will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. There's the pattern. Reject wisdom, reject the fear of the Lord, and what follows is destruction, brokenness, death. That's the pattern. So my friends, for those of you who are not believers, this world is not random. There's actions and consequences, but the most important thing of rejecting the fear of the Lord is this. not bowing to him in reverent obedience, not bowing to him brings your eternal death. Romans 6:23 is very clear. For the wages of sin is death. And I'll read the second part later, so hold on. And you deserve death and eternal punishment in hell. The fear of the Lord, my friends, is the beginning of knowledge to embrace Jesus Christ for all that he is. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 30 real quick. And I know I'm running out of time, but I don't care. No, I do. I'm just kidding. Listen to what 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 30 says. It is from him that you are in Christ Jesus, being from God the Father, who became wisdom from God for us. So in Christ's life, in his person, and who he is, we see the wisdom of God in full display. But it goes on, our righteousness, he's become our righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. My friends, if you don't know Christ, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the call to you this morning isn't to have a better work ethic. It's to submit your lives to Jesus Christ. For the wages of sin is death, but it doesn't have to be your death. It's his. He can be his on the cross. It can be his on the cross. Brothers and sisters, let me quickly do this for you, for those of you who are Christians. I don't want to sit here and pretend, even as followers of Jesus, that we are not easily enticed by the things of this world, that we can't get off the path of discipleship, and find ourselves in a place where we're not honoring the Lord. Because remember what we were said, it's every part of our life. There's no area of our life that doesn't submit to the Lordship of Christ. If you find yourself in that position, listen to the words, the wisdom. And fools despise wisdom and destruction, or wisdom and discipline. Listen to what Proverbs 28:13 says. The one who conceals his sin will not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them will find mercy. Because that reverent obedience to the Lord, remember, he's the one to come to me. All you who are heavy laden and burdened, I'll give you rest. You'll find mercy in me. So real quickly, verse 10 of chapter 2. We're going to move very quickly. Just continue with my brothers and sisters to know Christ. Look at verse 10 of chapter 2. What wisdom will do, it will rescue you from a forbidden woman, from a wayward woman with flattering talk, who abandons the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house sinks down to death, and her ways to the land of the departed spirits. None return who go to her, none reach the path of life. We can take this both literally and physically, or literally, both literally and figuratively. Let's start with the literal. It's giving wisdom to those of us married, but even single. If you find yourself pursuing sexual promiscuity, look at the result. Doesn't lead somewhere good. All who go to her don't return. And it would not surprise me in a crowd this large that we have people here today whose hearts are beginning to drift, if they'd already not have. And you're meeting with somebody at your water cooler, like, they make me feel like a teenager again. For the love and fear of the Lord, let us help you. Let us help you. And if you find yourself in that position where you're already in the act of adultery, you've abandoned the companion of youth, I beg you today, let us help you. Because remember Proverbs 28:13. He who conceals his sin does not prosper, but those who confess find mercy. And we can take it figuratively. This could be just caught up in any sin. My brothers and sisters, I say, I'm getting on a hobby horse right now. And Mike makes fun of me for saying this all the time. But I hate pretending. I don't like it. It drives me nuts. Like, there's a reason we talk about the cross every week, because we know we're all sinners. We know that. I know you have secret sins that you struggle with. I have my own. Brothers and sisters, let's walk in reverent obedience to the Lord and listen to what He has to say and spur each other on that path of discipleship and not be fools who despise wisdom and destruction. Let's not do it. It's not worth it. Because we find mercy and grace in the one we are to fear. My friends, let me just again, not my friends, my family. I like that much better. Let me just again, for those of you who are not Christians, the beginning step for you in the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, is to come to know God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Through repenting and repentance of sins and believing in Him for forgiveness of sins. And my brothers and sisters in Christ, will conclude with this. Fear is, with a quote from David Hubbard, fear is best understood as reverent obedience. Although it includes worship, it does not end there. It radiates. It radiates out from our adoration and devotion to our everyday conduct that seeks each moment as the Lord's time, each relationship as the Lord's opportunity, and each duty as the Lord's command, and each blessing as the Lord's gift. Let's walk in the fear of the Lord. Amen? Man, let's pray. Oh, Father, thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ. What a Savior. Who we can walk in reverence and obedience with a joy-filled trembling before Him. Knowing that if we move off the path of discipleship, He is there to restore us, instruct us, and help us to continue on this long path of discipleship. And Father, I pray for those in here who don't know Your Son. I pray that You would help them to recognize that their work ethic, their works will not save them. The question is, do you know Christ? I pray You would work that into the hearts and minds of those who have yet to bow their knee to You. God, thank You for this church family. I pray that all of us would be willing to get help where we need it, and to walk in a manner worthy, pleasing to You. And it's Your Son, Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.